Good morning, all you Tuesday zealots. Welcome to our time together. You can see I'm still on the road. I'm going to be home tomorrow. So I am blessed to spend a few moments with you. Your time is precious, just like everyone that has a busy lifestyle. But it's good to come together. And even though we're apart physically, we certainly can come together in spirit. We know there's no distance in prayer. There's no distance in the Word of God. There's no distance in our love one for another, because we can send that through the spiritual internet. Amen. Well, God has one, you know, and it's a lot better than the one that we have in the natural. So we're on a journey called Staying Free, how to not just maintain, but increase, mature, go forward. We do not want to go back. Traditionally, that's called backsliding, but sometimes we get stuck in a rut or get stuck in a, you know, a framework. Someone said a rut is just a grave with two ends kicked out. Well, pretty close to it. You get into a rut theologically, or a rut in your understanding of the gospel of Christ and of the things of God, and it's narrow, it's limited to what your denomination has written out as legal teaching, legal theology. If you're questing and searching for the mysteries of God and the understanding of those mysteries, you're going to run very quickly into the edges of your rut. And when you do that, then you irritate and become a target for criticism. And after a while, many of us who have been in that position just get another place to run. We don't want to run in the rut. We would like to run and operate and move on an open road. Skies are unlimited, where the heavens are open instead of closed. I was somewhat involved in the fringes, at least, of what they call the disciple movement, in the sense that I was in a church. There were nine of us associate pastors. We had a senior pastor, and then we all had our departments. Large charismatic church in Southern California. And it was at somewhat the height when the Fort Lauderdale Five, I think there was Bob Mumford and four other guys that I don't, Don Basham and Derek Prince, I think might have been involved in that some. Anyway, the disciple movement had a truth and had a revelation that needed to happen. And that is that we need to have in our life mentors, people that speak into our life. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Let me make a pattern that you can follow. Now, that wasn't intended to be make this pattern, follow this pattern, and if you follow any other pattern, you're in sin or a heretic. But denominations have formed their particular patterns. I traveled extensively in the early days of the ministry, evangelizing through churches in the United States mostly, and getting down into some of the regions of the country that is still, like, 100 years behind in their revelation of Christ. They had some pretty strict rules, dress codes, understanding of teaching and gospel, things I couldn't teach in their churches, because I knew if I mentioned it, I wouldn't get a check at the end of the week. I'd be out the door. So because we're to come into where they understand, not just to blow them out of the water with a revelation that they can't grasp, you minister to where they are, salvation, healing, restoration, the love of God, come back to God, so forth. But they had limited their revelation by their theology. I got young evangelists, single young evangelists, get pressed into some weird places. I've slept in, been in some bedrooms and beds and back rooms and trailer houses that you wouldn't want to put your worst enemy in, but because I was a single young evangelist and the guys I traveled with, I had a couple of different partners, they'd put us in some ornery places. And I got into one place that the guy that I was living with, a bachelor, he was animate about if my mother cut her hair, she's going to hell. Well, obviously, my mother did cut her hair on occasion, and I know she didn't go to hell. So it was an interesting development, how to keep your mouth shut at the right time. Well, I am heading somewhere today, and it's on the subject of staying free, and I want to just do some more discussion about praying in other tongues, praying the will of God. This is a thorny subject in some circles. How can you pray the will of God? How do you know the will of God? You know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do we know? We just bump along and hope that we make it to the end. Praying the will of God has to do with praying in other tongues in a great form, I believe. And so when you pray in tongues, you are praying in agreement with God's word. I'm taking notes out of a little book I did years ago on staying free. And hopefully it'll be reprinted this coming months, as I'm planning to do that again. It's been out of print for a while. When you pray in tongues, you're praying in agreement with God's word and his perfect will for your life. 1 John 5:14 to 15 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So how do you know to pray the will of God? I believe you can pray the will of God directly by praying in other tongues. Now, I know the will of God for much of my life, and I can pray that in English. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That's quite a simple stepping stone of the will of God. Prosper means be successful in the journey you're on, not just money. There's times I didn't have money, but God still used me and he still loved me and I was still doing the will of God. So money is nice and it's necessary in this society. You don't go in to the store and stack your things on the counter, look at the cashier and say, bless you, my daughter, and then leave. You know, you've got to put money down on the counter. All right, set that aside. The will of God is that you live free from bondage. The will of God is that your bodies be healed and whole so you can physically and spiritually and emotionally move into the purposes of God. I've often said that if you're sick and broke, you're not going to go very far to be a missionary, a traveling evangelist, go on the TV, radio, write books, build churches, give to the poor, build wells in Africa, send food to the hungry. All those are spiritual and biblical truths. Told us to go into the world, told us to deal with the widow and the orphan and give them, you know, sustenance. Those are all part of the will of God, to be prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Well, the soul prospering is almost a sermon or a teaching and a thought in itself. My soul is my will, my emotions, my understanding, my mentality, my character, my customs, all those things are wrapped up in my soul. And if I have a narrow, limited view of God, the world, and the church, if I have a narrow, limited view of you, you know, I just don't like people. And I hate tall people, short people. I hate people from Texas. I don't know. Then it's going to limit me, and I'm going to be stymied and and crippled in the area of ministering to that crowd because my soul is limited. Now, the gospel then, the anointing of the Lord comes and my soul begins to be healed. My character changes. I take on honesty and truth. I begin to understand grace and mercy. I begin to understand the love of God. And my character and my emotions and my mind begins to be the mind of Christ. And out of that, then the Spirit flows through that soul life in a sense, because the soul can be like a trap, a prison. When the soul is healed. So listen to this verse again. Beloved, I wish above all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So there seems to be a choke point there coming through my soul. Okay. Good subject for discussion. Have some this week on that. Pray it through, look into it. I believe God will give you some insight. Amen. And then when you come back and tell me about it, it'll be good. Now, he said that 1 Corinthians 14:14, Paul says that he prayed with both his spirit and his mind that they would be productive and able to bear fruit and help others. He prayed both with his spirit and his mind, prayed in his heavenly language, and he prayed in his, not English, I know better than that, you know, Hebrew or Swahili or whatever the language was for that day. Okay. Now, I encourage you to pray the will of God. Pray the will of God. We prayed it every day, the Lord's Prayer. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We said it every day, not understanding nearly hardly any of what we see now, which what we see now is so small compared to what we're going to see tomorrow because of the unfolding revelation of Christ. But praying the will of God, Lord, let your will be done. So what are we doing when we say that? We are giving God license, opportunity, and permission to come in, invade us, and give us revelation of his will. Amen. That's something. Okay, well, Tuesday's a good day to start if you haven't started yet. Find a place. Talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he likes to pray loud, out loud, and when he's praying by himself. He said, well, I was living with some relation, and when they were home, I had to be quiet. Okay, well, God hears quiet. Amen. I heard a guy come to the Pentecostal church one time, and he said, you guys all pray at the same time. How do you think God can interpret that? And you're so loud. And the retort to that was, well, God's not nervous, nor he doesn't, you know, he can pick it out. And he doesn't care about that. He's not deaf. Okay. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I'm rambling a little bit because I love to ramble in the things of God. Be blessed today and be sure and give me a subscription if you haven't done it. Thumbs up, like, and tell somebody about this. Don't let this be your best kept secret. Somebody needs to tune in the mornings and get out. Shock of encouragement. Amen. Thank you for your giving. It's a blessing and a help. You can do that through PayPal right below on the notes, and also the mail. It still works. Some of my generation don't play around with those fancy internet stuff, but U.S. mail will get to us. I thank God every day for you all. I know some of you personally, some of you I know through the communication on the internet, and some of you I know in the spirit, because I just know you're there. And I speak to you every day in my spirit, even though I don't know your face, and I bless you. And I thank God for your support in the spirit and in prayer. And I thank God for your life. I thank God that you are progressing into your purpose in this life. Amen. Amen. Well, until tomorrow morning, which will be a good morning, until tomorrow morning, we will continue to shine forth the glory of God. And our words will be encouraging, revelatory, and full of wisdom. In Jesus' name.